Welcome to the Nutramedical Report, hour number two, and we're going to be joined in a moment by Eustace Mullins, a remarkable program that we're going to have talking about the mortgage bomb, the meltdown, 5 million Americans in danger of losing their homes, up to 20 million this year if they don't stop. They've been changing and fiddling with the mortgage rates, etc. This is not going to work. We also have many other, quote, converging catastrophes. We have the current acceptance of the separation of Kosovo from Serbia. This is like having Quebec leave Canada or having Texas leave the United States. It is seen as a challenge to Russia and its current rebuilding of its empire. The Russian bear is awaking. It's well armed to the teeth and full of oil riches, and is now part of a larger group called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. We're going to look at this and the breakdown of the U.S. Federal Reserve System. The dollar is dead. And, of course, long live the Amero, which is what their plan is, but it is a contrived and partially controlled chaos, but not completely. And they're panicking. A lot of these globalists are panicking because they're trying to hold on to different levers on this device they call the global economy, and it's not working very well at all. Well, I wonder, do we have Eustace on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Eustace, I want you to give us your input, because I want to jump right into this. We'll weave some news items that I have, because I have about 58 pages of Word document. I usually post up about 25 articles each day that I think people should have a look at. Don't take what I say. Listen to you, read your books. Check out these news articles, and we've got the links up directly to purchase your books on the Federal Reserve and the real masters behind the globalist organizations going back centuries and thousands of years. Tell us about what you see happening with the mortgage meltdown that we have going on as we speak.
Well, it's a simple banking operation. I have to disagree with you when you say that the banking system is not working well at all. It's actually working very well for the bankers.
Well, you're disagreeing with, you're using hyperbole and satire. I agree with you.
Well, that's not hyperbole and satire. That's a business observation.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's working very well for them. It's just not working good for their victims.
Oh, it's almost like the
sheep doesn't, you know, it's not working good for the sheep, but when it becomes mutton on the table, it works very well for those eating mutton.
The Federal Reserve Act was never written to work for the people. It was written by a group of bankers in a secret conspiracy.
Right. Good. Well, please continue your satire.
Well, it's not intended to be a satire.
Oh, I know. It's important, though, because I think that we need to get through to people with some sense of humor of the terrible, dark nature of what's going on, because it's literally trying to steal out of people's pockets, no different than if you had a pickpocket or a criminal come into your home with a gun to steal your jewelry. This is the same thing. Your equity out of your home, your pensions, the value of your dollars, your bank accounts, everything out the window. And that's what's going on, and it's a white-collar crime of galactic proportions.
Well, you see, I have a good outlook on this because I grew up during the Great Depression, which was caused by the very same bankers that we're talking about.
Wow.
And it worked very well for them at that time, too, just as it is now.
Tell us more about what you see happening, because this cataclysm is literally kind of like the final linchpin in the U.S. economy.
Well, I met a man in an insane asylum in 1948. Who told me about the whole thing. And this was the most famous writer in the world, Ezra Pound. And Ezra Pound had been locked up by Alger Hiss on a charge of treason, which Alger Hiss was very familiar with. And so they couldn't try him because they had no evidence, so they had to put him in an insane asylum and have government psychiatrists declare that he was incompetent. And so I went to meet him at the insane asylum in Washington, and he said, well, you go down to the Library of Congress and look up something. And I said, what do you want me to look up? And he said, the Federal Reserve System. So I went down there, and I found that there was no book in the Library of Congress on the Federal Reserve System.
Wow.
So I had to write one, and it's been in print since 1953. It's reached a lot of people.
I bet it has. See, your wisdom is very valuable. That's why these programs, your books, the writings that you've done in the Federal Reserve System, this is, you want to call it, the carotid arteries of the beast system. Tell us what you see happening now when they're trying to switch to the Amero. Obviously, 16 nations have been dollarized with the American dollar, so that this is a system in evolution toward a globalist feudal system.
Well, the bank is going international with the outbreak of World War One in 1914, and they've been international ever since. And now we have the International Monetary Fund, of which the United States is a signatory, and everything is international. Because money lends itself to being international very easily.
Exactly,
there's no
yeah.
national loyalties.
Well, absolutely. In fact, we see this with these hired, if you want to call, hired economic guns going in and literally with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and ripping and tearing, strip mining the country and then buying up everything in a song because the country's gone into so far debt. And now I heard the latest news yesterday is that the Arab states and the Islamic states in the Middle East are talking about having a single currency that they're going to put together.
Well, exactly, because anybody finally finds out that one kind of money is as good as another. And the Federal Reserve money that we have is actually counterfeit money because it has no backing of any kind. The Congress removed all the backing of the Federal Reserve currency in November of 1944. So we actually haven't had any real money since 1944, and that has caused a lot of people a great deal of difficulty.
Exactly.
But this all came about as because of a criminal conspiracy. And when I went to the back to the insane asylum and told Ezra Pound what I'd found out, he said, you have to write this as a detective story. So I've been a crime reporter now for about 60 years. Because
right.
that's all I have to write about is crime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it is. I love how you approach that. You know, you see it coming on really quickly. It's like Jack Benny, you know, when he delivers a line and then you say, oh my gosh. What he said
was
so true. I mean, this is what you do.
Tell us more. It's not comedy, because in comedy you have to have timing.
Well, you've got timing. You just, you're like Jack
Benny. The Federal Reserve System was passed by the Congress on December the 13th. 1913.
Yeah.
Now, and so this is not a current comedy at all. We're seeing the results of it.
Now, the disaster that happened in 1929, if you look at the bold facts of the percentages and the amount of indebtedness and the interlockedness of the system, in many ways, if you would make the analogy of a patient in the intensive care unit, the condition of the patient is far worse this time when it's now in full arrest.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, in other words, the potential for a global cataclysm far worse than the 1929 catastrophe is there. We have also a population that doesn't know how to grow its own food, is totally dependent on in-time production and distribution. I've talked to both FEMA people, FEMA directors, as well as people in the Canadian military and government planning for COG, continuity of government. And by the way, that doesn't mean continuity of civil society. Their planning is basically not including even in the United States federal government the legislative or the judicial branch. In fact, they said that you don't even have the right, even in the senior military people in the armed services divisions of the Congress and the Senate, to even see the COG plans of the federal government, which is only for the executive branch. So this is an obscenity. It is a plan to basically truncate and decapitate government, and it also has no protection whatsoever for the people, whether it's financial disaster, ecological disaster, pandemic, or anything else. It's simply to contain things for continuity of government.
Well, if you want to have an interesting conversation, just ask your congressman who stole the United States Treasury, and he'll be very upset about that because he doesn't even realize it's been stolen.
Isn't that terrible? It's just so obscene.
I used to walk by it every day, and it was an empty building. I thought, what's happened to the Treasury? And the Treasury building is still there, but actually the United States Department of the Treasury was dissolved by the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
We'll be back in just a minute with Eustace Mullins. Welcome back to the Nuclear Medical Report, and our special guest today, Eustace Mullins. Eustace, what do you see happening now that this is actually in progress right now? There really seems to be nothing serious that they're doing to stop this catastrophe for the mortgage market. 5 million Americans immediately could lose their homes in the next 30 to 60 days, up to 20 million this year. What do you think is going to happen, and how would you tie this with the events now that are also going over in Kosovo with the American government agreeing to the separation of Kosovo from Serbia? This is a pretty serious breakup that's going on, backed by the United States and their embassy being attacked.
Well, it's even more important because World War One began in Serbia.
Yeah, isn't
that
interesting?
And that is a very alarming thing for anybody in this country. They say, my God, World War Three is ready to break out in Serbia. And nobody's saying anything about it.
It's amazing. And to me, this is the big story today.
Besides
the mortgage story, these are the two big stories. The mortgage meltdown, because of that, and Serbia. Then, of course, we have two other stories in the wings here. We have the attempt a few weeks ago to interfere with the cables in the Mediterranean Ocean with the oil bores, which is going to blow up the dollar. We have the attempts last year of the Israelis to go downtown and bomb the Bashar reactor, which is now fully fueled and will be completely operational within 4 months in producing power. And believe me, the Iranians do have the bomb. If people think they don't have it, they're just crazy. They have the bomb. Either they made it themselves, a very dirty bomb, or they have Russian nuclear plasma warheads and other warheads already ready to go. So this is not going to be a cakewalk if they try to attack Iran. And then we have the India-Pakistan thing with the very shaky truce now that their election is over. Tell us your comments on all of these issues.
Well, it all is part of what is going on. It's part of the legacy of the Federal Reserve System.
Right.
Because when Congress passed the Federal Reserve System in 1913, they created a central bank. And people don't know that a central bank is the most important kind of bank to know about, and the American people have no idea what a central bank is. And Ron Paul himself, when he talks about the Federal Reserve System, doesn't tell you what a central bank is. A central bank is a conglomeration of banks which has obtained control of the money and credit of an entire country. And they mobilize that credit for war finance. So that's why we have all the wars. And mobilization of credit is a very familiar term to bankers, but not, the average person doesn't know anything about it. Mobilization means preparing for war. And a central bank has two duties. First, the first one is that it gets a license from the government to print all the money it wants to. That's called the right of issue. And our Constitution, our Article 1, Section 10, provided that the Congress should have control of printing the money. So a private bank was authorized by Congress in 1913, the Federal Reserve Bank, which Ron Paul has presented a bill to abolish it. And in fact, it's in the Federal Reserve Act itself. It could be abolished at any time.
Yeah, so in other words, you don't need new legislation. You just need to take action.
Well, you need to have somebody in Congress who will take action, just as they took action in 1913 to authorize the Federal Reserve Bank. Because it has the right of issue, it could print all the money it wants to, and it doesn't matter whether the money has any backing or not. It hasn't had any backing since 1944, but it is in the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. It says that every dollar which is printed by the Federal Reserve System becomes a liability of the United States government. So we, the American people, owe every penny of the money which has been printed and circulated all over the world since 1913. And the bill is coming due, and the fact is we don't have the money.
Yeah, and see, this is bad. This is like the old, the black and white, they call them, the talkies, the initial movies where the, the big revenueers came to take the home and the woman was there, and then they, it's been like being tied to the train tracks. This is the kind of events that are going to happen. We're going to see people literally tent cities in places like Los Angeles. This is a prelude to the meltdown of the middle class, because they don't, to have a true independent republic, you need a middle class with dispensable resources and a roof over their head, and they need to have financial and political cloak with a system that responds to their needs.
Well, I saw 10 years ago in Florida, in the wintertime, people were sleeping under bridges.
Right.
And that was when we were more prosperous than we are now.
Right. So, in other words, this is the start of what a scene that looks to me like out of the movie Children of Men, where you have a toxic world where people can't reproduce, but where the economy's crashed to the point we've tilted over to a state of chaos, of smoldering and simmering wars, like this one in Kosovo, the danger of loose nukes in Baluchistan and in Pakistan, the cross-border skirmishes with the people coming across into Afghanistan fighting the international forces, the economy teetering toward catastrophe, and really all of this by design. Tell us how you think it's all going to meld up, because this issue in Kosovo is a very big deal. In fact, I was looking at the news items today, and it's quite shocking. The Soviets aren't really gone, to be honest. They're just the bears now waking back up. The Russia is asserting its empire, and I believe that the statement that they have by their envoy saying that they will use weapons of violence and nuclear weapons, it says U.S. Calls on Russia to repudiate NATO envoy comment. This is from the International Herald Tribune. A senior U.S. official on Friday called on Russia to repudiate a suggestion one of its officials that it may need to use military force to earn respect after Western governments recognize Kosovo over its objections. And one of those elements of force is to use nuclear devices. The Russians aren't playing games here, and we shouldn't take them lightly.
Oh, we shouldn't take anything lightly, because Baron Rothschild is the person who authorized the drafting of the Federal Reserve Act of 1910,
right,
which subsequently became law. And Baron Rothschild said that you should buy when there's blood in the streets. So there has to be blood in the streets for profitable financial transactions, and we're going to see lots of blood in the streets.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's because people are ignorant. And, ignorance is basically the soporific that precedes the procedure, not for surgery, but for decapitation. We're going to see an economy decapitated. We're seeing that the political system is absolutely a ridiculous dance with these three major candidates out there, other than Ron Paul, all in the back pockets of various elements of the globalists.
Oh, yeah, they can put up $50 million to run for president, because it's worth somebody's while to have them in as president.
Yeah, tell us about what your analysis of each of the candidates are and where you see them going, depending on who of these fools gets in. We've got McCain, his bomb Moran. It turns out that his backer is George Soros. We've got, I call him Osama Obama, the orator. They try to present him as a black Kennedy, which he has a sexual appetite of Kennedy. But obviously, this man is in the back pocket of the CFR. And then we've got Hillary Clinton, who's positively like the Joker. She's scary. People die very suddenly around Hillary and her husband and their terms in office in the
90s. Oh, lots of them. He had 45 recorded while he was president. 45 people were shot down, and it's all a matter of record.
Absolutely. I wouldn't want to be Obama if I was her running mate.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, and please continue, Eustace, on your analysis of all these events. The thing in Kosovo, I don't think, is being played up enough in the media, because, of course, the Canadian, the U.S. government all agreeing to the separation of Kosovo is a very, very serious challenge to the former Russian bear. And this is going to have consequences when they say these kind of statements, and I'm willing to bet that Putin's not going to back off, is he?
Oh, nobody's going to back off, because if you back off, that's the person who loses all the money. You have to stand by their guns.
Well, I think that playing poker with Mr. Alexander Putin is a very unwise thing to do.
Oh, yes, indeed, because the KGB, if they have a problem, they drop it in the Volga River.
Yeah, I've heard that even when they're dealing with the so-called terrorists in the Middle East and in Lebanon back in the 70s and 80s, that the most feared of all the people in it, they stopped messing with very quickly after a couple of incidents with the Russians.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they don't play around.
They play a hard game.
Yeah, if they say they're going to do something, you can take it to the bank that they mean what they say.
Oh, yes, because they've always done that.
Yeah.
And Stalin did not murder 1 million people a year in Russia for 60 years, and no one has ever been arrested or charged with anything in those atrocities.
Yeah, isn't that remarkable?
Well, so, it's remarkable. I think 60 million people can be murdered, and there's not a single indictment of anybody. Nobody's ever been criticized for it.
Well, you see, the thing is, in many cases, in the actions of the CIA and our foreign lettered agencies, we've done the same thing, but not in our own soil, but it's coming home now.
Oh, yes. Well, the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 was caused by the King of England, by President Woodrow Wilson, who was a loyal communist all his life, and a number of other people. John D. Rockefeller was one of the biggest contributors to the Bolshevik Revolution. And the Rockefellers are in a very good position today, and they can get anything they want.
I guess they can. They must think that we're just cattle or chattel. What do you think, Eustace? Tell us about some of your books and materials. You've written about the Federal Reserve. You also have a number of other materials that are extremely important, and the wisdom there you really can't see anywhere else. Like we talked about this last time, you've got a book called The Curse of Canaan and Demonology of History, Murder by Injection, The Story of Medical Conspiracy Against America, Rape of Justice, Americans' Tribunals Exposed, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. That's a very important book. And the World Order, Our Secret Ruler, and Education for Slavery. And again, that's what the system is. We see it now. It's very obvious. Going to school now with policemen, with cameras, etc.
Oh, it's indoctrination.
It's indoctrination to a prison system. It's a prison education system. It's not one to let them have independent critical thinking. It's to indoctrinate them. We see it the same way as the administrative law of professionals. I have had personal experience with this. If you question the authority, even if it's insane, of the medical authorities at the state board level, even if they're insanely doing criminal activity, you have to be silent or else, and they punish you very seriously, try to destroy your career, etc. They want you to be silent when deadly vaccines or drugs are given. These are important books, and then you talk about this difficult individual, about Ezra Pound, and I guess we're difficult individuals too, yourself, especially all the wisdom you've had in these books.
Well, because we won't submit.
We won't submit, no. In fact, we're the swarm. We're going to get them. As far as I'm concerned, I'm like, and I'm sure you are the same way intellectually, we're approaching this just the same way as the movie Braveheart. I'm William Wallace. You know, we're going to show our backside as we bring the pikes up for their heavy horses, and we're going to definitely take them down. And even if it's the last thing we do, we're going to make certain that they understand they'll remember this battle.
Oh, yes. We're survivors right now.
Yeah.
And the U.S. government has, for years, listed me as an insurgent. That's the same thing that they list the Al-Qaeda in Iraq as insurgents.
Do you know what insurgent is? I guess someone who won't submit to lobotomy, right?
Oh, yes.
I love that. Please continue. So
well, and a lot of American people are insurgents at heart and don't know it. All the inhabitants of the southern states are still considered rebels by the Washington government, and they're occupied by Washington governments. See, I live in the state of Virginia, and the state of Virginia has not had an independent government since 1865, when it was military occupied.
Right.
1865 is a long time back.
Right.
It's a long time to go without a government, but we don't have one.
Well, of course, what's really going on, too, is now with the Patriot Act 1 and 2, with the John Warner Defense Act, with the PDD 51 executive orders, with the orders now to pass over control of the country and health and the National Guard to the United Nations in place of a pandemic. This is a complete takeover of the several states and their authorities, and See, I set aside in the Constitution. It's completely unconstitutional, but of course, since the back in the 40s and before, they've been gradually bringing in step by step admiralty law, the law of the seas, which is a not constitutional.
Oh, it's not constitutional, but admiralty law is necessary because when you're on a ship at sea, you cannot have any mutiny, and so you have to execute them immediately. That's the kind of law we live under.
Well, yeah, and of course, we have this this bill that was passed, H.R. 1959. The other bill is still cooking, Senate Bill 1955, and Senate Bill 1959, that's literally a, quote, Terrorism Prevention Act. It's the idea that somehow thinking or asking the wrong questions could incite you that you're a pre-terrorist, like pre-crime. It's just like the Minority Report. It's just obscene, and it's not acceptable by any means whatsoever.
Oh, no, indeed. In fact, I went to the Washington at Lee University with John Warner, and he married two of the richest women in the world, and he married into the Mellon family. And,
oh, really?
And the Mellon family put him in as charge of the Bicentennial Celebration, and then he became Secretary of the Navy, and John Warner has always had very important jobs, but he can be counted on when they ask him to do something to do it.
And so it sounds like that's why they call it the John Warner Defense Act, because he's firmly in their back pocket.
Oh, absolutely. If John Warner did it, you can count on it 100%.
Tell me what you think will happen next in these other hot spots. We now have them trying to force a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. That's like duct taping two mortal enemies with the button on the nuclear trigger. Then we have the Pakistan meltdown, which we're certainly not helping. And we've got the situation now in Kosovo, which looks to me, of all of them, I would say that's probably the most dangerous.
Oh, it's very dangerous, but everything is dangerous because this is all a Hollywood script. This is a television entertainment, and it's intended to be that because the people want entertainment, and they're giving us tremendous movie scripts every day, and we welcome that because we want that. But the state of Israel, which was created in 1958, was created by the United States and by the Soviet Union, who were partners at that time, and ever since the the state of Israel was set up. It's a war for the control of the world because at Palestine is the crossroads of the world. It's where East and West meet. And throughout history, the control of the crossroads of the world has been the most important objective for any country.
Yeah, that's what Alexander the Great said. That's what Genghis Khan said.
Well,
in fact, it's the Silk Trail, which is over the Khyber Pass into China. This is the central control of trade routes. Now, of course, it's the central control of the oil. And there's no such thing as peak oil. That's another pile of garbage. And we don't even need oil because we have all kinds of technology. We could simply use methane, hydrogen, what's called heat pumps in the oceans. You can use solar collectors up in space. We have all kinds of other technologies we're going to have experts on. All of this is a game to play with the carbon or the oil horse now and then get a control also of the horse of uranium and completely subjugate the populations as they destroy the middle class. We'll be back in just a moment. Just as well as your questions, 866-582-9933 in just one moment. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. And we do have a caller, Marianne in Arkansas. Your question for Eustace Mullins or myself, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dr. Bill. God bless you. Thank you for having Mr. Mullins on. Eustace, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
You bring such a unique perspective because not many have the advantage of going back and remembering history in recent years as you've done. One of the things we like so much about Dr. Bill is the fact that he brings forth solutions and we maintain hope in the face of deadly adversity. Besides prayer, besides the need for food and health. Mr. Mullins, what are some of your top two or three strategies you would recommend to us common folk that we'd like to prepare as best we can for what possibly could come? And then I'll listen off air. God bless you both. Thank you.
Well, the Bible says that Matthew 29, Christ's last words to us are, "He will always be with you." And so you don't have to wait staring up at the sky for the second coming of Christ, because he assures us he's always with us. And I have that personal feeling that Christ is always with me.
Yeah.
And that's why I do the work that I have.
Right. In fact, if you don't have that that assurance, how can you move forward? And not only that, we're moving into literally a fire financially, a fire geopolitically, biologically. In every possible way, we're being thrown like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego headlong into the fiery furnace. And the furnace has been stoked by these globalists on purpose. It's not by chance. It may look like the chaos is random, but it's not. And you have the proof in your books in the Federal Reserve and these many other titles we talked about.
Well, Christ himself, during his mission on earth, he fought Juggernaut and the Baal and the other heathen gods. And we're still fighting those people today. So there's work to be done.
Absolutely. And, of course, the biggest problem is the deception that's in the intellectual community, the deception in the public community. A lot of the churches, even, they said 26,000 pastors have been hired to deceive their people, to tell them to submit. You know, a lot of these ideas are so anathema to true faith and true reliance on God. And also the idea that somehow we should be passive. You know, I believe we need to be Joshua-type believers who are prepared to cut the tendons of the giant, and then when they hit the ground, to cut their heads off.
Yes. Well, Christ warned us against this. He said, "Be ye not deceived." And if people are willing to be deceived, they'll submit to anything.
Yeah, well,
and that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in terms of the preparation, besides that, what specifically would you recommend on a geopolitical, financial, other routes? Because we see this juggernaut of North American Union. I spoke on the weekend to Jerome Corsi and other experts I've talked to, and it looks like it's moving at an enormous pace now that the former president of Mexico, Fox, Vicente Fox, has actually tried to say embrace globalism and embrace Mexico for the North American Union. But the Chinese completely control all of the Mexican ports. They control Cardenas. They control the Panama Canal. This is a very deadly game when your food supply is coming in through these massive super ports and controller bringing in containers that are not at all reviewed. They could have massive, not suitcase bombs, but full-size nukes in these containers with no protection whatsoever, totally under the control of our enemies.
Well, the civilized portion of the world is under attack by the barbarians, and there's no question about that. And as a civilized nation, we have to alert ourselves to the problems that are facing us. And as the barbarians gather at our gates, we have to be ready to meet them.
Yeah, and the problem is that the people, the politicians, are not acting like the barbarians are there. But
well, they're part of the barbarians.
Exactly. They're bought up. That's one of the things that I would say would be the message this year, when we have the only person who's got real solutions he's talking about is Ron Paul. And if he doesn't, and he's obviously not talking about running, if we don't see a dismantling of the campaign of McCain, who continues to have, you know, things exposed on him. Now they're saying that he's been involved with some lascivious activities with one of his lobbyists. You know, this man is dangerous. And then we've got the other dangers. We've got the three musketeers from hell, you know, McCain, Obama, and Hitler, rotten Clinton. And they're all terrible. I mean, they're all what I call Armageddonites. They all want to start World War III. And it appears that the powers that be are moving very quickly toward that, trying to incite Russia, trying to incite Iran to cut off the oil at the Strait of Hormuz, to blow up the dollar, to destroy the middle class. All of that, I believe, is going to happen this year.
Well, Obama himself has been exposed as being a protege of Zbigniew Brzezinski. And
right.
Brzezinski is Henry Kissinger's heir in world affairs. So a man backed by Brzezinski is going to be the most dangerous person you can think of. And that That is Obama.
And, of course, Brzezinski is a psycho that wants to take on Russia.
Oh, yes.
And wild ideas. Yeah, he's got wild ideas thinking you're going to take on Russia. And I don't care if you got space-based platforms. Russia has weapons that will vaporize you. It's to say you don't need to die by a bullet if you can die by a 20-pound rock on the side of your head. And Russia has very advanced weapons, and they're very serious, and they will use them.
Oh, well, we're in no position to oppose Russia or China because the United States has no soldiers left, and we're bankrupt.
Well, they want to have, this is the next thing that I tell people this year. I'm going to make a couple of predictions. I would predict that we're going to have, either this year or next, we're going to have a pandemic strike, an economic collapse, a minimum of at least one of these three event wars, whether it's Kosovo, the Middle East, or Pakistan, India, blow up. You're going to see a total blow to the economy and food shortages. And I believe that they're going to have a draft. I believe that we will have a draft this year. The draft is coming. I mean, if you're a young person and you don't think you're going to get drafted, you're crazy. This draft is going to be what they're talking about. And six different bills last year for the Democrats was 18 to 49. We're not just talking about young, meaning, 18 to 25. They're talking about up to 49, and for health professionals, up to 55.
Oh, yes. Well, this has been a situation for some time because our soldiers in Iraq have had their tours of duty extended four or five times.
And well, I guess you got to rip the guts.
Desperate.
You got to destroy the fabric of society. Look at how many reservists now. As we were talking about this with Dr. Ridenour about a week ago, if we have a pandemic, we're going to have to dial up the president of Iraq and ask him if we can have our troops back because we have a pandemic in Louisiana or Nevada.
Oh, yes. And McCain tells us that we've got to keep our troops in Iraq for another 100 years.
This man is absolutely psychotic. I mean,
he is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, you can see it by looking at his eyes. Well, when you look at his eyes, it makes cold chills rather than my back.
Yep. All of these three candidates creep me out.
Oh, yes.
They all creep me out. I met Hillary Clinton personally, and honestly, I've seen mass murderers up front and personal when I had to do examinations on a Supermax facility, and I can tell you she's 100 times creepier, but all of them are creepy. And these people, to me, are not concerned about humanity. They're not concerned about anything. In fact, they're going to follow orders, even if it means their own death and destruction. That's how crazy they are.
Oh, they're on the way.
Yeah. This is the thing that people think. A lot of the globalists are now starting to get the message, military and other intelligence people, and they know that the plans of the, quote, crazies at the top isn't even going to make them richer, more powerful, live longer, or do anything. It's going to make them sick and then impoverished and then dead. And that's what we want to do, is speak into the lives of those people that have money and power. In fact, the first American Revolution wasn't just the average settler here. It was the landed people with power that realized what the British were doing under the King George at that time that was bringing destruction to the landed powerful ones. Well, we're speaking to you landed powerful ones. If you've got millions, they're going to make it worth thousands. Is to say, if you want to have a small fortune, start with a large one. And that's what they're going to do to you. And then once they impoverish you and destroy your wealth, they're going to inject you with the same vaccines they're going to inject with us. And if you speak out, they're going to put you in the same prisons, and they're going to put the same guillotines and cut your head off the same way they're going to do to us if you let it happen. So you need to realize if you do have some financial or some political or other clout, you better use it now. This year is the year that counts, because we're heading toward a time where there may not even be an election. It's so dangerous. Your closing comments, Eustace.
Well, I still have Christ with me, so I'm not quite as gloomy as you are.
Well, I have my God, but I'm a realist, too.
I should be a realist. I've always tried to be a realist.
Yeah, and if you're a realist, also, you face the truth with your Creator God, giving you the power to face it and face it in truth and then take action. We'll have you back on soon, Eustace. Thank you for your wonderful revelations over the many years and about the Federal Reserve and the real power of evil behind our dark enemies here on this planet. We'll be back again on Monday, and again Sunday evening, the best of the week shows, the Encore, 8 to 10 p.m. On Monday, we're going to have Steve Shanks back on and Jerry Smith on weather warfare, new revelations you've never heard before.